Open your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Sometimes as Christians we say things, they seem sort of packaged, like we have pat answers to, you know, to every situation. Like we will say, we'll tell people when they're going through some kind of a difficulty, we'll say, well, you know, just trust God and everything will be all right. Well, now that's the truth. If we trust God and serve Him, everything will be all right. But the truth is also that when you're the one who has to do the trusting, sometimes those aren't very comforting words. One of the things that I struggle with, you know, is when I go to people who are having difficulties, whatever it may be, they expect me to say something that's going to help. And, you know, all I can say is, trust God and everything will be all right. And even as I say that, sometimes in my mind, I know sometimes, you know, that's probably really not helping them too much. But it's the truth. We tell people, well, you know, just pray. You just need to pray about this. Just pray about this. The Bible tells us to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. How much more clear can it be? All the time we need to be praying. Don't have to walk around with your eyes closed. Don't have to be bowed on your knees all the time, but always in an attitude of prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But when we're the one who's going through the trouble, when we're the one who's sick, when we're the one who's having family difficulties, when we're the ones who are having financial difficulties, when we're the ones that are mourning and suffering loss, sometimes we wonder if prayer really works, don't we? You know, these are the things we don't like to admit. But that's the truth. Sometimes in the midst of our emotional trauma, whatever it may be, we pray, but we somewhere maybe in the back of our minds we think, I don't think that did any good. Prayer does make a difference. But you don't have to take my word for it. The Bible tells us. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the earth gave, heaven gave a rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, you know what we do? When we're in that mess, we read those verses and we think, yeah, it worked for Elijah. But it won't work for me. Yes, it will. Prayer works. I want to talk a little bit about prayer this morning. I noticed that Shara in the offertory played a song about prayer. I noticed a couple of our songs that we sang were about prayer and the faithfulness of God. And I want to talk about prayer this morning. First of all, let's consider the promises of prayer and go back to verse 16 of James chapter 5. And it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One of the promises of prayer is that prayer makes a difference, a big difference. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain over the entire nation of Israel for 3.5 years. And then Elijah prayed again and it rained. Listen, that's a big difference. In our church, we have a church, as a church, collectively, and as Christians individually, we have prayed, and people's lives have been changed, people have gotten jobs, people have gotten saved, people have been healed, people have been brought through and delivered from difficulties and problems. Prayer makes a difference. It really does work. And we know that. Intellectually, emotionally, when we get in those messes, sometimes we wonder whether it really does or not. But one of the promises of prayer is that prayer makes a difference. It availeth much. And one of the reasons that it makes a difference is because of another promise of prayer. And that is the promise that God always hears the prayers of His people. Now, I want you to listen closely to what I'm about to say. Especially if you're not a Christian this morning, I want you to listen closely. And if you are a Christian, I want you to listen even more closely. God always hears the prayers of His people. Psalm 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." Doesn't it make sense that God would hear us? He commanded us to pray, pray without ceasing. In everything, pray. Well, if He commanded us to pray, doesn't it make sense that He would listen to us when we pray? And Psalm 34:15 says that He doesn't just listen to our prayers, He's listening for us to pray. His ears are always open, listening for the cries, for the prayers of His people. 2 Chronicles 7:14, you're all familiar with this verse, I'm sure. I think we get so involved in all the little parts and pieces of it, we miss a very important thing that's told us in this verse. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." I think I was talking to Don this morning before service started, and we got off talking about the mess that our country's in. And boy, it's in a mess, isn't it? The world's in a mess. Our country's in a mess. Our state's in a mess. People are just in a mess. And I want you to know something. I'm not trying to be political, and please don't read anything into this other than what you hear. The president will not solve our problems. The Congress will not solve our problems. Republicans and Democrats don't have the answer to our problems. If the people of the United States of America will humble themselves and fall on their face before God and repent of their sin and turn to Him, then God will solve our problems. But until then, it won't happen. We're fooling ourselves if we think we can vote the right person into office and everything's going to be all right. Years ago, well, y'all remember, where is this coming from? Who's doing this? Y'all remember Scratch used to go to church here. He used to come and visit me nearly every week here at the church. I'm telling you, I miss that old guy. And he used to just get on to me a lot of the times. He was always wanting me to be political. He always wanted me to preach about political issues and talk about the issues. He said, "You need to listen to me. Listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. Politics is not the answer. Listen, if politics was the answer, God would have sent a politician. But He sent a Savior because salvation is the answer to our problems." Amen. When people get saved, then the earth, then the mess that we're in will straighten up. Until they get saved, unless they get saved, it won't straighten up. But that's okay. Because for those of us who are Christians, one day we're going to go to a place where there is no sin and everything will be fine. I don't know what that had to do with prayer. But if my people will pray, you see, prayer makes a difference, folks. The next thing I want us to notice is the procedure of prayer. Now, again, listen closely. I'm not trying to tell you that there's a right way and a wrong way to pray. There aren't certain words that you need to say or a certain order that you need to say those words in. But there are some attitudes that we need to have when we pray. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We need to come to God with confidence. When it says to come boldly, that doesn't mean we come with arrogance and demanding and telling God what we want Him to do. But we come to God with confidence, and we don't do that a lot of times. Sometimes we almost come to God in prayer apologetically. It's like we think, "Well, now listen, you're probably not listening. I really don't mean to bother you. I know you're busy. I know you've got other things on your mind, and you're probably, maybe you're tired. Yeah, I know there's a lot of things more important than what I'm going to pray about. But, you know, we just sort of ease our way. We're trying to inch in there so maybe God won't notice, but we can say our prayer." Listen. Did you not hear what Psalm 34:15 said? "The eyes of the Lord are open unto the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." Come boldly. He's listening. We don't need to apologize to God for praying. He wants us to. He commanded us to pray. He said, pray without ceasing. So come boldly to the throne of grace. Sometimes we wonder maybe if God really loves us. You know, if he doesn't love me, maybe he won't listen to me. Maybe I haven't done what I should, so God does not, he's not liking me right now. Maybe I have done what I shouldn't. So maybe God's mad at me right now. So I'm just not sure God loves me. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The cross stands as an eternal reminder of the love of God for us, for every person. So listen, come boldly to the throne of grace because he loves us. Sometimes we think God just doesn't care about our problems. Maybe he just doesn't care about me personally. Maybe my problems just aren't big enough. There are people who have terminal illnesses, and my problem doesn't compare with that. God just doesn't really care about my problem. There are folks who are going through family difficulties and have lost jobs. Those people in the hurricanes, their whole lives have been destroyed, and my problems just don't stack up as compared to theirs. God just really doesn't care. 1 Peter 5:17 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God cares about you. Yes, he loves you, but he also cares about you. And he cares about the things that are troubling you. And he cares about the things that are bothering you. And he cares about the things that make you joyous and happy. And he invites us to cast our cares upon him. So come boldly. God cares. Sometimes we think, well, I don't know if God can do anything about my problem. You know, it's not that it's so small, but it's too big. Man, this is a big deal. This is a real problem. It involves other people. I'm not sure God can do anything about this. Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Come boldly to God. He can fix it. Now, I want you to understand something. Either the Bible is true, all of it, or it's not true, none of it. Now, the Bible says God can do anything. The Bible says God loves us. The Bible says God cares about us. The Bible says that he's interested in us and all these sorts of things. And it says, come boldly. So either we can come boldly or we can't. There's not an either or. There's not something in the middle. There's not sometimes we can and sometimes we can't. All the time, everywhere, in every circumstance, in every situation. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. God is there. God is listening. And he can handle it. We also need to come in faith, believing. James 1:6. Says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. God will accomplish his work, and God will work all things out for the good of his people. The problem for us, I think, the problem for me when I pray and probably when you pray, the doubt comes in when God won't give us what we want, right? I'm going to pray for a 55 Thunderbird. Because I want a 55 Thunderbird. But when I pray that prayer, I'm not sure. I have some doubt that God will give me a 55 Thunderbird. See, the problem is not God. The problem is me and what I pray about. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You'll find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly to the throne of grace and seek the face of God. That means to seek the will of God. And when we come to God and say, listen, God, I want you to do your will, then we pray that without wavering because God will accomplish his work. And God will work all things out for the good of his people. Doesn't matter what we ask, if we ask in his name and according to his will, God will do it so we can ask faithfully. And then we also need to be persistent in prayer. Listen, when Elijah, if you go back in, 1 Kings or wherever that is, where Elijah prayed and it didn't rain, and then he prayed again and it did rain. If you go back and look at that, When he began to pray for rain, he sent his servant. He prayed one time and he sent his servant. He said, go check the clouds. Go check the weather. And the servant went and skies were blue. So he came back and told Elijah, said, well, I don't see anything. And Elijah, the Bible says Elijah sent him back seven times before the cloud came. Just a little bitty cloud the size of a man's fist. The significance of the number seven is it's the number of completion. The idea is you just keep praying until something happens. Be persistent in prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, and he spake a parable, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing and don't give up. Our prayer, the prayer of the saints of God, makes a difference. I think I've told you this before. I have people on my prayer list. All of you are on my prayer list. Some of you have family members and friends who aren't Christians. They're on my prayer list. Some of those people I've been praying for 30 years. Now listen, as long as I have my brain and can function, I'm going to pray for those folks until something happens. Because that's what God said to do. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give. If I quit praying for them, there's two or three people that I've been praying for, and some of you don't even know who they are. Maybe nobody knows who they are. And several weeks ago, I got to thinking about, I was going through my prayer and I was praying, and I got to thinking about a couple of those folks, and I thought, Lord, you know, I don't. They're gone. They're in another state. They're in another country. I don't even know what's going on with them. Maybe this prayer's already been answered. I believe I'll just quit praying this prayer. And then it dawned on me, well, what if nobody else is praying for them? What if I'm the only one? What if you're the only person who's praying for somebody else? And you quit. Men ought always to pray and to not faint. Pray until something happens or till you can't pray anymore. Then God will take care of it. Finally, I want you to notice the products of prayer. Prayer always produces results. Always, 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 prayer produces results. Now, that does not mean that we get what we want. There's not a 55 Thunderbird in my garage. One of these days there might be. We don't always get what we want, but prayer always produces results. The Bible told us Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again. One man, not the nation of Israel, not the First Free Will Baptist Church of Jerusalem, Elijah prayed. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and it rained. And the drought was over, and the earth began to bring forth its fruit. See, prayer always produces results. In Acts chapter 12, we find that Peter is in prison. Herod had taken James, the brother of John, and beheaded him. And the Bible says that Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, so he arrested Peter, and he put Peter in jail, and his intention was to behead Peter. That was his plan. Peter was guarded by 16 men, 16 Roman soldiers. They were with him. Four of them were with him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Two of them were chained to his one to each hand, and two of them stood at the door of the cell that Peter was in. 24 hours a day, there were four guys always with Peter. The night before he was to be beheaded, I want you to notice what the Bible says, what happened in Acts chapter 12, verse 6. It says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Don't you find that interesting? Bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. The night before he was supposed to die. Maybe the night he was to die. Maybe the execution was going to be in the evening. I don't know. Peter was asleep. I got to tell you, I would not have been sleeping. I would have been awake. I would have been up pacing the cell. Those guys chained to me would have had to been walking. I would have been praying. I would have been fretting. I would have been worrying. I'd have been calling the governor. I'd have been doing whatever I could do, but I would not have been sleeping. Who needs to sleep? You're about to die. I read that verse and that phrase jumped out at me. Peter was sleeping. I thought, how in the world could he be sleeping? And I found the answer. Verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know what happens when we pray? Prayer brings peace. Now, you know that's true because you've experienced that. I went out one time to the emergency room. I wish Tammy was in here because I said something a couple of weeks ago about I used a personal illustration, and she said she liked it. Now she's not in here this morning to hear this. I went out one time to the emergency room. This has been years and years ago. And a member of our church was out there. He has since passed away, but he was out there in the emergency room, and his wife was there with him, and she was frantic, I guess would be the word. So I went in there, and I talked to him a minute, and I had prayer, and I left. And one of the nurses came to me. She said, "I'm so glad you came." She said, "You seem to bring peace when you come." Well, you know me, I stuck my chest out, and I walked out of there. And then I realized it has nothing to do with me. Prayer brings peace. One of the products of prayer is peace. Listen, when we take God our trouble, and when we leave our trouble with God and trust Him to do whatever it is He wants to do with it, we get peace. One of the products of prayer is peace. One of the products of prayer is unity. Verse 12 of Acts chapter 12 says that they were gathered together praying. Those folks in that church, I guess it wasn't a regular time to worship, but they gathered together. They came together in unity with one purpose and one mind to pray for Peter. Prayer brings unity. The church today, Christians today, this church today, when we pray, all of us pray about something, whether we're in the sanctuary, whether we're all at home or at work in different places, prayer unites us. Because we go to God boldly, to His throne, and we pray about the same thing. And when we do that, we know others are praying about the same thing, and it unites us. Prayer brings unity. Prayer produces deliverance. We've already talked about this. Peter, verses 7 and 11, if you read those verses out of Acts chapter 12, says that the chains fell off of his hands, and the gate, the door to the cell, opened up, and Peter was delivered. An angel came, got him, took him out, had to wake him up. But came and got him and took him out. Prayer brings deliverance. Now I know what some of you are going to, who know that passage, you're going to say, "Well, now wait a minute. James, the brother of John, he was beheaded. Prayer didn't deliver him." Oh yes, it did. It delivered him all the way home. We've prayed for folks. I was thinking about this too the other day. Man, I'm chasing all kinds of rabbits today. Somebody was sick. Somebody in our church was sick. Elderly person in our church was sick, and so immediately I started praying, "God, heal him." Right? That's what we pray. God, heal him. Bring healing. Bring deliverance from this sickness, however you want to say it. And as I was praying that prayer, it was almost like God spoke to me. I'm not saying I heard a voice or anything. "Hey, listen, bud, everybody dies. We always pray for healing. When is the last time somebody called you and said they were sick and you said, 'Well, I'm just going to pray that you die'?" We don't do that. We pray for deliverance. Deliverance. Listen, deliverance always comes. Some people are delivered from their sickness and they get well. Some people are delivered through their sickness and they go home. But deliverance always comes. We pray about our problems. We pray about our difficulties. We pray about our sorrows. Whatever it is, whatever we're going through, we pray about it. And we usually have in our mind what we want God to do. And I want you to know that deliverance always comes. Daniel went through the lion's den. You think he didn't pray? The reason he was in the lion's den is because he was praying. He opened the doors of his window, his window, and he began to pray. People saw him because he was praying. They threw him in the lion's den. His prayer didn't deliver him from the lion's den. His prayer delivered him through. the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't delivered from the fire. They were delivered through the fire. We always want to be delivered from our difficulties. And sometimes it is the will of God to deliver us through our difficulties. But deliverance always comes. And when we pray and confess our sins, we are always delivered from the bondage of sin. Finally, prayer produces encouragement. In Acts chapter 12, verse 17, the Bible says, "But he, Peter, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place." James, the other James, and the brethren, you know they had to be worried about, they had to be concerned about their own lives. James, the brother of John, had been beheaded. Peter had been arrested and thrown into prison. And as far as they knew, he was about to be beheaded. And they had to be concerned for their own safety. So Peter said, "I want you to go tell them what God has done. Tell them I'm all right. Everything's okay. That'll encourage them." Peter went to the church, to the people who were gathered together praying for him. And he told them, said, "Hey, listen, Jesus, God answered your prayer. Here I am." Don't you think that was an encouragement to them? When I pray about something and somebody calls me and says, "Hey, I want you to know God answered the prayer," that's encouraging to me. Yeah. We're real good about giving prayer requests, aren't we, man? I have a list every Sunday, prayer request after prayer request. Nothing wrong with that. Please don't get me wrong. That's fine. But when God answers the prayer, we need to be just as vocal about that as we are about the request. "Hey, listen, God did this. We prayed and God did it." Or, "We prayed and God did something else, but He did it anyway." That's encouraging. Doesn't that encourage you? When somebody tells you God answered the prayer that you've been praying, that's encouraging. Peter, tell somebody. Because prayer produces encouragement. There's no secret. I have people ask me all the time, "How do you pray?" There's no secret. There are no words to say. Prayer is not a magic formula. Prayer's not something you plant the seed and you pour the water on it and then you get whatever it is that you want. That's not prayer. Prayer is conversation with God. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is us saying, "God, first of all, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner." And then prayer is saying, "God, use me, I'm your servant." And this prayer is saying, "God, whatever you want, that's what I want." And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes a big difference. Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you'll come and play. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. If you can't stand, don't you worry about it. You remain seated. There's one more promise of prayer that I didn't mention. And it's found in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that's prayer. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, God always hears the prayer of repentance and always forgives sin and always makes us righteous. If you need to pray that prayer this morning, would you do it? You come while Sheriff plays. Some of you ladies, come and pray with Tanya this morning. stay in an attitude of prayer, but let's sing that chorus that Sharon's playing this morning. Father, I'm so thankful that we can pray. I'm thankful that you hear us. I'm thankful that you do something about it when you hear us. I'm thankful there's power in prayer. I'm thankful for the peace that prayer brings. Help us, Father, to be people of prayer always, to pray without ceasing, to pray consistently about everything in every situation. And when we pray, help us to bend our will to yours and be pleased and rejoice when your will is accomplished. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. They're going to stay here and pray. Please be mindful of that. Yes. All right. Remember Richard today as we dismiss and